This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua and New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information, please visit newchapel.com.
Well, hey, good morning. My name is Joe Bevilacqua. I'm the lead pastor here at New Chapel. We're in the third part of our series, Love Thy Neighbor. And I just want to say, this is the reason why we preach in series, is because we're able to every week build on a thought, like week after week, understand something more and more clear. And so back in the day when I was growing up, I mean, the pastor, he'd stay up late and write a message on Saturday night. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that tradition, but man, we plan these out long in advance. That way we're able to take a journey together. In this third part, I think that you're really going to enjoy. If you have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel. Before we actually read that passage, I just want to say thank you so much for those of you that have already taken part in the It's Your Move campaign. If you've already pledged, if you're already part of this, thank you so much. The launch offering was wonderful. Just want to give you a little bit of news. There's no news yet, and so we're waiting to hear the news. We believe Monday or Tuesday we may be in contract. So be believing God with us. Believe God for favor and open door. I'm excited about what God has. If it's this facility, the one that we're bidding on, it's going to be incredible opportunity for us as a church. So be believing God with us. So, Love Thy Neighbor, part three. I'm going to read out of Matthew 5, and this passage of scripture is where Jesus is now on the road. He's preaching this revolutionary message about loving your neighbor. He has all kinds of new concepts, and what he's doing is that concept that we started the series with, that and one. So, as he's preaching, he would say things like, you've heard it before, but I say. And he would say that about people who were in adultery. He said, well, you know, adultery is wrong, but I say that if you look after a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery. If you have anger that's uncontrolled, you've already committed murder. And in this passage, he's talking about going the second mile, this and one concept that it's not just doing it out of law. You have to have a heart towards God to be able to do these things. And we're going to really flip this whole concept of love thy neighbor on its head. Why? Because that's exactly what Jesus did. When he taught this, he blew people's minds when he said, yes, not only do you need to love your neighbor, but he says that you need to love your enemies. Right. Woo! There's nobody shouting when we talk about that. There's nobody going, I'm so excited to learn how to love that difficult person at work that hates me. But if Jesus talked about it, I think that we should talk about it too. Amen, somebody? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Four concepts I want to share with you about this really difficult concept in Scripture about loving. It's easy to love your neighbor. You got to love your enemy. Number one, write it down. The standard of the world is to love our neighbors and to hate our enemies. Write that down. That's the standard. That's the standard that the world goes by. The world has no problem in doing that. That's expected in the world. It says, he said, you've heard it said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's the standard that people live by. And if someone is good to you and kind to you, you don't have a problem with being good and kind in return. That's no issue. But if somebody's mean, if somebody's awful, if somebody did something horrible to you, you should do it back to them. Or in our passive-aggressive culture, you should write them off, ignore them, and act like they completely do not exist. If they're your enemy, that's the least that you should do. I was getting ready to preach a message on forgiveness a couple years ago, and Kaya really helps me with my messages. I mean, this church would be really not what it is without my wife. She's incredible. And so I'm working on my message a couple years ago, and I was like, Kai, I'm trying to think of this quote. It's something like, hit me once, hit me twice, but there's like, I can't remember. And I'll tell you what the quote is. We found out, but then I'll tell you what my wife said. The quote is, hit me once, shame on you. Hit me twice, shame on me. Y'all ever heard that quote? Well, Kai was trying to remember. I couldn't remember. She says, hit me once, shame on you. Hit me twice, you're dead to me. Oh my gosh, Kaya. So Kaya don't play, like don't mess with Kaya, I guess. But that's how the world works, right? That's what we think. That's how we act sometimes. Like we'll completely write somebody off. We're done with you completely. And Jesus acknowledges that that's the way that the world works. He says that love your enemies, bless those that curse you though. He says, do good to those that hate you, pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. What is he doing there? He's saying, listen, that may be the standard of the world, but that's not the standard in the family of God. Now, I'm not going to be coming out with my new book on parenting anytime soon. I have a 1.5-year-old. I have a baby coming in June. I've got no great wisdom from experience, but that doesn't mean that those that aren't even parents yet can't educate yourself about good precepts and principles in leading children. And so I've had nephews and nieces, and I've heard people say these type of things almost a decade in youth ministry. You hear things like, well, at their house, their parents don't make us do anything. They don't have to. Why do they have to? Have y'all ever heard a teenager make that kind of excuse when you ask them to do something? Well, their parents don't ask them to mow the lawn. And so Kai and I have talked about this for a long time, and we actually made a decision, because I'm a pastor, that we don't want to put the ministry or being a pastor as the heavy. What do I mean? I'm not going to say, Aurelia, you're going to do that because we're pastors. I'm never going to do that. Why? Because then you made ministry the heavy. Never going to do that. I'm going to say, we don't do that because we're Bevilacquas. And so Bevilacquas don't do that. Or Bevilacquas do. We mow lawns at 10. I'm talking about 10 years old. You're 10 years old, time to get a job at the Bevilacqua house. You know what I'm talking about, anybody? But I'm never going to make the heavy the church. I'm never going to make the heavy the fact that I'm a pastor. That's always going to be in a positive light. Well, in the same context of your home, when your kid comes to you and says, well, they don't have to do it, you're going to say, hey, listen, well, we're the Bevilacquas. We're the Iacobonis. We are the Italians in Grand Rapids. Amen. And so we do it this way. This is what we're going to do. You know what I'm talking about? And so that's what Jesus is doing. He said, this is the standard of the world. I see that they do that. I acknowledge it. And by the way, parents, do yourself a nickel's worth of free advice. Don't tell them that their parents or their friend's parents are wrong, because that will go right back to that friend's parents and that will come right back to you. And that's all kinds of awkward. So you don't even have to say it's wrong or right. Just say, hey, we're not going to do that. And so that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, in the family of God, we don't hate our enemies. We love them. We take care of them. Now, in Luke, so we're in Matthew's gospel, but in Luke, Luke records the same story. It's in a different lens. The gospels are primarily gospels that have different viewpoints of a lot of the same events. And so in Luke 6, verse 27, this is what Luke writes about what Jesus was saying. Jesus says, to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other cheek also. If somebody demands your coat, offer your shirt also. That kind of bothers me because I like to dress sharp. And so, like, I'll buy you a shirt, but I don't know why I have to give my shirt. Anyway, verse 30. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Ooh, that hurts. Write it down. Number 2, Jesus raises the bar by telling us to love our enemies as well. It's an and one. He doesn't just leave it where it is. He takes it to another level. This is the family of God. This is what this looks like with us. You need to love other people. And I kind of wish, just to be honest, this is my flesh speaking from the pulpit right now. I wish he wouldn't have expounded on what that meant. Anybody else got a witness in the church? Because what I could have done is I could have said, okay, my enemies, the IRS, that's an enemy. Taking my money, that's an enemy. The devil is in the, I hate the IRS, Lord, I curse it. In the name, you know, and you could just hate your enemies like that. And maybe it's the person that drives in the left-hand lane. I think every car, you should have like a degree of license. Like, you know how they have like a class level if you're a bus driver, a truck driver? They should have a level where you should be able to have a harpoon on your car and just shoot out the tires of somebody driving in the passing lane. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Okay, pray. I wish that we could just, okay, they're an enemy, Lord. I forgive them. I'm going to walk in love and just mentally kind of just let them off the hook. But he doesn't stop there. What he does is he articulates what an enemy is, and he articulates what love looks like when you're loving an enemy, and it hurts your flesh a little bit. It makes you sizzle, and you feel it when you got to love somebody that it doesn't say that they repented and that everything's good now. They could still hate your guts, but what you have to do is love them. Wow. This is deep. People that are like, oh, I wish Pastor Joe would go into more deep teeth. This is deep. Loving not just your neighbor, but loving your enemy, deep. Hard to do. Hard to wrap your mind around loving someone who hates you. Who's our enemy? It says, do good to those who hate you. The Greek word there for hate is someone who detests you. When they think of you, they detest you. This is your enemy. It says, bless those who curse you. In the Greek there, that word curse, it literally means to doom you. Like that they hope for your future demise. They want you to feel the burn of all of this. They hope that you fail. They hope that you self-destruct. They curse you. Those are the people that the Bible says, that Jesus Christ says, you got to bless those people. Pray for those who hurt you. The Greek there bears it out to say, to hit, of course, to blow by blow by blow, as with a fist or with a hammer. I mean, this is somebody who hates your guts, and you're supposed to pray for them. Really? That's the standard of what we're supposed to do as a Christian? I remember when this concept first hit my ears, my pastor said this quote, Pastor Paul Rosinski. He said, love, bless, do good, and pray. These are all my options today. That's so gross. They hate me. They want my demise. They hate my guts. Love, bless, do good, and pray. These are all my options today. Oh, you want to talk about putting your flesh on the grill. That hurts. And here's the deal. I'll tell you later, it hurts good. It's good for you. In the end, it feels good. But it hurts when you're doing it. Number three, write it down. Our enemies are those who harm us, offend us, and wrong us. Jesus doesn't leave it where it's at. He takes it to the next level. He says that these enemies, those that are purposefully seeking your demise, purposefully seeking your destruction and your pain, those people are the people that you need to love. An enemy is a person who has maliciously tried to do you in and to do you wrong and take advantage of you. That's what an enemy is. In the midst of all of that, Jesus says we're supposed to love them. And here's what I know. I know every single person in this room, you can almost visualize right now that person, those people. You can see them. Yeah, you can see. You're feeling right now familiar feelings. When you think of them, it rises up. Feels like ginger ale in your chest. Just this mix of anxiety and anger can bubble up within us when you think about those people who are literally your enemies. They don't like you. They're not for you. And maybe for people in this room, it's your ex-spouse who turned your kids against you, who didn't pay a dime in child support. Not ever. And you had to toe the line and make everything great. And that has been so painful and isolating for you. Maybe it's that business partner that stole from you, or maybe stole the mailing list and went to the other side of town, opened up business, and maybe it closed yours, or maybe it harmed you enough that you're not living quite the standard that you were because somebody stole from you. They turned their back on you. Maybe it's that ex-colleague, that person who ran your name through the mud, made a mockery of you, insulted you in front of everybody. Maybe it's the friend that gossiped and turned everyone against you. Maybe it's the boyfriend that you got pregnant and then they took off in a moment. They're gone, left you completely alone. Maybe it's the relative that spread lies to the whole family. Maybe it's the coworker that works overtime to make your life hard, thinks of ways to exploit you. Maybe it's that person that you were so close to in the past, but you can't imagine how it got to the spot, but they are against you. They put a line in the sand. I know it. I know what it feels like. I've gone through situations where people, the Bible puts it this way, they set their face against you. If you watch that new show on TLC, She's in Charge, it's that rat face. You know what I'm talking about? When you talk to your kids, you better get in your car. Like they set their face against you, but truly, like they hate you. They don't want to see you succeed. Your unhappiness is where they build their happiness. And Jesus commands us to love them. Ah! Those are the people that, I'm not saying you got to have warm fuzzies, but in truth, in action, you got to love them. This is what he says in Luke 6:32. If you only love those who love you, why do you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to only those who do good to you, why should you get any credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get any credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Verse 35, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. And you will truly be acting like children of the Most High, for he is kind. Oh, he's kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. And you must be compassionate just as your heavenly Father is compassionate. In Matthew's gospel, where he kind of picks up and ends that little passage, he says it this way in Matthew 5:48, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This isn't talking about being perfect in your flesh. I mean, you're going to mess up from time to time. The word perfect here in the Greek conveys being fully mature. And that tells me this, write it down. Number four, Jesus conveys that the path to maturity in life is found in loving our enemies. That's hard. That is something you have to wrap your mind around. Because if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, this is a requirement. Love not just your neighbors, love your enemies as yourself. This might not be easy, but let me just say, when we talked about the and one, y'all remember my first message, we talked about and one, and hey, you should sign up and serve on a team. You should invest in other people. And we talked about that, and we said, you need to love your neighbor. Some of y'all choke on and one loving your neighbor. Those are nice people. Now we got to love people who are not so nice. We got to love people who take advantage of us. And so Jesus, he says this in Luke 17. We love the promises of God, right? Everybody say amen. Everybody say amen. We love the promises of God. This is one of the promises that Jesus says. He says to his disciple, offenses will certainly come. It's certain. I'm not saying you even really need to believe God for that. That one's going to happen on its own. Like, there's no faith required. Offenses will surely come. They're going to come to all of us. They're going to begin to come and erode away. Really, it's directed towards our relationship with God, towards our relationship with other people. And this is going to happen. People are going to be offended. They're going to be hurting and taking advantage of you. And by that nature, they become our enemies. But I wonder, is it possible that some of the block that we feel in our hearts, like with the fruit of the Spirit that we want to see, the joy that we want to live in and walk in, the answered prayer that we want to see in our life, is it possible that by us harboring this unforgiveness, this hatred, by not choosing to love in return, that we're stopping the flow of God, that we're putting an obstacle in the blessing and the flow of the blessing in our life? I think it is. I was really getting into landscaping this last year, and I got a kick out of it. It's fun to get down your knees, get dirty, all that kind of stuff, and I'd plant different things. Well, my house didn't have a lot of hose access, so I only had two hoses, so I'm running hoses all around the house trying to get it to where I needed to be, and one of them went through the winter, and when I found it, it was kinked. It was kinked like this. And when you think of a hose, the idea is that the hose would be a vessel by which the water can flow through. Well, that's your life. But what happens is when we don't love in return, here's what happens. You don't know this, but to forgive would be an action, right? You don't realize it, but when you don't forgive, that indeed is an action. That is an assault on your soul. And what it does is it kinks up the flow. And what happens is you wonder why you haven't had answer to prayer. You wonder why it just seems like there's this disconnect in between me and God. Seems like we're 1,000 miles away, wherein before I felt so close. What's going on? And the fact of the matter is you got to do some heart work. You have to think about the condition of your heart and say, Lord, is there a spot where I kink this thing, where I mess this up, where I stop the flow of your spirit in my life? We have to think that way. We have to examine our heart. We can't wonder why there's a block. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians. He says, if you forgive anybody anything, I too forgive. He goes on, but this is what he says. This is the reason why. He says, to keep Satan from taking advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. In other words, what Paul says about unforgiveness is when you go into that, you're in the devil's territory. You are prime picking for your enemy. And you can't be ignorant of his schemes here. This is how he gets us. That's what it's trying to say. Jesus says it this way in Mark 11. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Drop the issue. Let it go. So your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and your wrongdoings. Wow. When we harbor offense in our heart and choose not to forgive, we kink the hose. We put an obstacle in the flow of God's Spirit in our lives. And I'm here to tell you, Christian, the flow of His Spirit, that relational element, is the most important. We call it life-giving around here. You'll hear that phrase. Well, what's life-giving about it? It's the Spirit of God. If you're attracted to any amount of life at New Chapel, like, man, I just feel life here. I feel energy here. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God. And what we have to do is guard that flow. Make sure that is free flowing in our hearts and in our lives. Say amen, somebody. And I know what some of you feel like. If I forgive, it's like I'm saying that what they did was okay. I can't forgive Pastor Joe. You don't know what they did to me. I can't forgive Pastor Joe. You don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they said about me. They tore me down. Pastor Joe, you don't understand. It's like I'm saying it's okay. And I'm here to tell you that's not the case. You're not saying it's okay. You're not saying that at all. We're not designed by God to live that way in our hearts. Here's what happens when you do that. Number one, you will kink the hose. You will stop the flow of the Spirit of God in your life. But number two, it's like taking in poison, expecting them to get hurt. It doesn't make sense. And so, when you forgive, that doesn't mean that you trust. Those aren't equal. Trust has to be earned. Trust can be lost very quickly. In fact, you can make the decision, I'm not going to trust them. You can make the decision to forgive and not make the decision to reconcile. I hope it can happen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? The Bible says, as much as possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. But you can't. We know that. But as much as it depends on you, try to do your part. But if it ain't going to work, if it ain't going to do your part, sometimes you have to step in, sever, and say, this relationship in my life is too toxic for me to have in it. There's no reconciliation here. Now, they may come at a future time. God may unite us together. But for right now, no, acts, done. And God will honor the forgiveness in your heart. And He will honor the boundary that you set to protect yourself and especially protect your kids. I feel like I need to say this. Certain story that I heard where a grandfather had been convicted and admitted to molesting children and some of the grandchildren. And this grandfather served his time, got out, found forgiveness, found healing. And I say, praise God. But what he wanted to do was take the other grandkids that had come along in the meantime, he wanted to take them over and have them overnight. And the parents came to the church and said, what do we do? If we forgave him, if he says he's healed, should we, but I don't want to do this, but is it the, and the pastor said a very wise thing, of course not. We love Grandpa. We believe Grandpa received the Lord. We believe he received healing. And no, Grandpa can never watch our kids ever again. And that's okay. You can forgive and still set boundaries. Nobody in the Bible ever said that you need to let everybody railroad over your life. That is not what Jesus was trying to convey here. And especially with your kids, do not make your kids a faith experiment to test out and see how much everybody's been forgiven. You guard them, you protect them, you put boundaries around them. That's the way of the Lord. Amen, somebody? Somebody needed to hear that. I'm stepping all over somebody right now, and you needed that. But I'm here to tell you that forgiveness is huge. If the music would come. That feel, that release that you will have, like when a king toes goes, you know how that flood of water will go out all at once. That's what will happen in your heart. All of a sudden, forgiveness goes forth, and I hate to put it this way, but you're a little backed up before you did it. You know what I'm talking about, somebody? And you will feel relief. You'll feel freedom. You'll feel hope. You'll feel joy. Don't wonder what the thing is that's blocking you and holding you back. It might be you. Might be your unforgiveness. It might be you holding on to something that is valid. That is very real. That was wrong. You're not validating. What you're saying is, I'm not keeping record of that anymore. I'm releasing that from my life. That's what the Bible says that love is. It says love is patient and kind. They read this at every wedding. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrong or right. Wow. To free your heart, to free your life to that spot, you release those people who have any hold on you. All of a sudden, the thing that they did has no grip on your heart anymore. The only one that should have a grip on your heart is God. And so I get it. We go through hard things. Even situations, even death can put a seed of unforgiveness in our hearts because we as human beings were never meant to deal with death. You might be upset that your parent died before they were supposed to, or how they died was the way that wasn't right. And it blocks your heart. You can hold unforgiveness against God. And the flow stops and the peace stops. My son Aurelio, he ministers at 1.5. I mean, we push him through the mall. And he's waving at people. He'll go over and he'll pat their hand and smile at them and rub them. And we like to park. Well, Kai likes me to park at the JCPenney entrance of Rivertown Crossings. Easiest parking spot. She loves it when she's pregnant because we get a special parking spot. And so we rolled in there, and there was a woman, and she was in one of those little wheelie carts. And she had a frown, I'm telling you, looked awful, scowl on her face. And little Aurelio went up, and he goes, hi, like that, and waves his chubby little digits at this lady. And a face that looked like it was melted wax, all of a sudden, hi, you know, right back to him. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that powerful? That's what you need to be like. That's the joy that you can bring into someone else's world. That's the freedom that you can bring into somebody. The Bible says that we need to have faith like a little child. And for you to forgive, it's going to take a deep breath. It's going to take letting clenched fists go, releasing all the anger, all the hatred that's boiling up in your heart to God. Because I'm here to tell you, Christian, if you don't, you will become the person that offended you. And you'll hurt other people. And the cycle will never stop until somebody says, no. What they did wasn't right, but I release them. I forgive. I'm going to love my enemy. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for this moment. I know that there's people here that honestly, they're hurting pretty bad when I bring this up. It feels like salt in a wound. I pray that you do only what you can do. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed. just wherever you're sitting, if you could put your hands on your lap and make a fist with both of your hands. Go ahead, get situated, put your Bible down. I want you to make a fist. Two fists. And that's the bitterness. That's that obstacle. That's that thing that's holding you back. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. And when I pray, when you release it, truly, I want you to just let your hand relax. Maybe you want to lift it up to the Lord. Maybe you want to just let it lay there like, God, I can't even carry it anymore, but I'm going to roll it on the cross. But I'm going to pray, and I believe that if you mean this in your heart, if you really, really want freedom from this unforgiveness, from this hatred towards your enemy, that you can have it in this moment. Father, in Jesus' name, we make the choice, God, even when it's hard, to keep no record of right or wrong. Lord, we pray that you would help us in this moment to release those people that had backstabbed us and held us in contempt and lied about us. Lord, even if it cost us a great deal, Lord, we choose in this moment to release the pain, release that person. And God, we don't just consciously in our mind, but in our hearts, we forgive. We let them go. We let them off the hook. They owe us nothing, God. And God, we free our hearts right now to your Spirit. We're sorry, Lord, if we made it wrong. Cleanse us on the inside. Lord, we pray that you would seal this work in our heart that you're doing today with your joy and your peace, that it would flow like it used to, and that, God, forgiveness would be our anthem because you forgave us. And we seal this in the name that forgave us, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Praise God. Praise God. There's people that just got freedom in this place. People that just got healing in this place. Yeah, I'm not discounting your issue. I'm saying that in spite of your issue, today's the day of freedom. Now, if you came into this room and you don't know God, like you came here and this is a great message, it really touched your heart, or maybe worship really moved you and you feel validity in this, but you don't know what the next step is. The people that you're sitting around who have this life-giving message, who have this freedom, they found it in the person of Jesus Christ. See, love is not just a message. Love is a person. So what happens is this, is if you're tired of doing life your way and you're ready to give control over to God, that act of giving control over to God is the Bible phrase, making him Lord over your life. Lord just means boss. It's you saying you're not that great of a boss of your life, but through him, he's the one that can make it new. And so if that's you in this place, we're going to say a prayer. If you mean it from the bottom of your heart, I'm here to tell you, all things can become new in your heart, new in your life. You can leave this place in relationship with God. An eternal life doesn't just start when you die. It starts today. You can begin that journey of freedom today. But it's found in giving control, repenting, trusting God. Church, let's say this prayer. Everybody say it with me loud and proud. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. I repent of my sin. I ask that you would wash me clean, cleanse me, make me new again. Lord, I forgive anyone that did me wrong. And I thank you that I can receive your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give it up for those people that accepted Christ in this place. Now, let me tell you, if you did accept Christ, that is so awesome. And here's what we do. There's people who are here that are visiting for the first time. And by the way, we're excited that you're here. In just a moment, we're going to transition our whole service into the generosity portion. We're going to send buckets through rows, and you're going to see Christians worshiping God with their finances. Now, if you're a first-time visitor, that card that they gave you when you came in, fill that out, check the box that says that you're new, drop that in the offering bucket. If you accepted Christ today, check that box that says, I accepted Christ. Here's what I'm going to do. For the first time visitor, I'm just going to send you a letter. I'm not going to show up at your house, embarrass you, stand you up right now, sit you down. None of that's going to happen. I just want to send you a letter. And to the person who accepted Christ, I want to send you a letter talking about next steps that you can take in your walk with God. I want you to know what to do next. I don't want you to be lost in the woods like I was when I first accepted Jesus. So on either of those accounts, I encourage you to do that. And like I said, we're going to transition into the generosity portion of our service today. Guys, this is an honor to be able to worship God with our giving. And I know so many of you do it online. It's what Kai and I do. It's just the easiest way because, man, life gets busy. In fact, Kaya, I had to pick up a certain prescription and she had to send me with cash. And I was like, what is this stuff? You know, I get it. People aren't carrying cash. People don't really have a lot of checks anymore. Giving online is phenomenal. And you can do that at newchapel.com/give. But if you do have some of that green stuff, the check, and you want to worship God, you can give that in service by your phone, automate online. However you do it, I want to let you know that God is not trying to take it from you. He's trying to build you up. Just how when you forgive somebody and it doesn't make sense, but in the end, it's the way that God gets that flow of the Spirit, that blessing. He says, you'll be blessed when you forgive your enemies. It's that same way when you give. And it says it this way in 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. What does that mean? This is talking about a person who is making their soul prosperous. They're learning more about God's word. They're learning more about prospering in all things. That would be prospering in relationship, prospering financially, prospering in forgiveness, prospering in love. They're prospering in this area, and it's a direct correlation to your mind being renewed, having a prosperous soul. And so as we give today, what you're doing is you're telling God and the devil that I've learned the message of the cross, that anything that dies, you're dying to that money, it resurrects. That anything that I give, it may leave my hand, but it doesn't leave my life. Your soul is prosperous and you've bought into his economy and not just the world's economy. So what we're going to do is we're going to worship God with our giving. And if you give in service by cash or check or on the envelope with your card, that's cool. You can hold that in your hand. If you give with your phone in any capacity, whether that be by the app, online, automated, you can hold your phone in your hand. But what we're going to do is we're going to believe God that as we give today, not only is it worship in heaven, that Jesus receives it, but that we're going to be able to bless people, that we're going to be able to grow the church, invest in more people's lives. And then in number three, he's going to prosper us. He's going to take care of us because we bought into his system. Amen, somebody? Go ahead and take that in your hand. Let's believe God. Lord, we worship you with our giving today. We worship you with our gift. And Father, as we sow this seed, whether it be our tithes or offerings or that over and above, that pledge or that offering that we want to give, God, we thank you that you receive it in heaven. You receive it as worship. And so, Lord, we love you. We sow it in faith, believing that you are going to do great things in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
New Chapel uses an online giving platform known as Secure Give. With their intuitive and secure software, they bring the absolute best when it comes to online giving. Simply go to newchapel.com/give, and there you will see the Secure Give section of the page. You can then log in by using your telephone number, create a new account, or even proceed without an account by giving anonymously. And just in a few seconds, you can designate your gifts, choose a payment option, and be finished. And just like with Amazon or iTunes, payment options can be saved and even add the ability to give straight from a bank account by setting up e-checking. Now, one great feature to encourage responsible giving is by setting up recurring giving. This simply reminds us to make our tithes and offerings a financial priority. You can also get instant access to your complete giving history through your profile and can easily edit your recurring donations along with all your user information. Thank you for considering New Chapel a kingdom investment. For information on why we give and to create your online giving account, go to newchapel.com/give. Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, visit newchapel.com.